If you want to listen to real stories about today's most popular celebrities and influencers, I have your number one source, and it's our Hollywire podcast, Behind the Fame. What's going on, everyone? I'm Toni Morris, creator, host, and CEO of Hollywood's most talked about celebrity news outlet of all time, Hollywire. Hollywire's Behind the Fame podcast reveals juicy celebrity relationship stories, tips and advice on how to be a true influencer, and the positives and negatives of being in the limelight. I've interviewed stars like Post Malone, Billie Eilish, and Ariana Grande before anyone else even knew who they were. My co-host, Jana Rosenberg, and I pride ourselves on knowing who the next big household name is before anyone else does. Once you listen to Behind the Fame, you'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll even feel like you're actually part of the conversation. Hollywire Behind the Fame. Catch new episodes every week. Available anywhere you download your podcasts.
This is Dead in Sports. This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Beans. Joining me, as usual, we got FIFO 2020.
What it do, what it do?
We got Nikki Doucet from the No Disrespect Podcast.
What's going on?
And there's no B this week. No. And Shelton will be joining us for a few episodes as well. He's not here either. He was supposed to be here. So you just got us three for the next hour or so.
That's good. I get to talk more.
Just want to say real quick, just to let you guys know, I know last week you guys were throwing us some shade, saying we need to be more consistent with our times. Mondays is the new day. The time now will be, let's just say, 9. So,
9:30? Let's just say.
Okay, 9:30.
Yeah.
9:30. So we're going to be a little bit more stable now. So 9:30. But just for programming sake, 9:30, just keep the notifications, turn the bell on, so you guys get a notification when we go live in case we get a chance to go live at 9 o'clock. 100. So, but yeah, Mondays is the new day, and that's it. So just wanted to let you guys know that. And football is over, so we're going to get into basketball. I know that's what you guys are here for and what you guys have been asking for. Yeah, man. So let's get to it.
NBA trade deadline. It came and went.
A lot of things happened.
But I didn't feel excited, though. It was like a...
Because it wasn't a lot of big names, but it was a lot of names that can possibly make things happen. And maybe not even for this season, right? Like, so, like, if we look at the big trade, right? Like, the biggest trade that happened.
What is the biggest trade to you?
Well, just from a player perspective, how many people moved? Like, the Atlanta Hawks, the Houston Rockets.
The Clint Capella.
The Clint Capella trade. Like, that trade. I think it helps the Hawks for next season, right? I think... I can't say his name right. Slavenk, their GM. I cannot pronounce it. I'm sorry. But I like the way he wheels and deals because he gave up the Brooklyn pick, but we're keeping this pick, which the top three picks in this draft, this is not a deep draft, but the top three are really, really, really good franchise changers. So I think that the Hawks are going to get one of those three. We got bigger. You know what I'm saying? We kind of solved our rebounding issue. The only thing I don't like, even though people would think Clint Capella as a rim defender, he's really not. His defensive rating when he was on the court, actually the Rockets were worse with him on.
Interesting.
Exactly. And when I found those numbers, I was like,
Now we know why the Rockets were so quick to get rid of them.
Exactly.
Their analytics.
They're analytics heavy, and Clint Capella didn't help him. Anytime he was on the court, all of their net ratings were down. You know what I'm saying? And it also hurt Russell Westbrook, right? So, and when Clint was out, Russell Westbrook was starting to go off, so I get it. From the Houston's perspective, I get it too, because now they're all the way bought in, and this...
Bought into what?
To their idea of what basketball is supposed to be.
You think they've been struggling to figure out, like, what they really want to do?
No, I just don't think that they had all of the personnel. Because now they're only small. There ain't no, we're going to go with a small. No, you're only small. And then they got another person that fits the mold in Robert Covington. You're talking about a first-team all-defender. You're talking about a 3-and-D guy. He had stretches where he shot over 40% from three. You know, I want to say he's right at 40% for the year.
He disappears, or he has disappeared
in the playoffs. So. Yeah, because Philly was asking where he was at a lot of times.
Of course.
So was I.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of what happens with role players. What do I always say about role players?
JJ Redick did the same thing. Yes, and so did Kyle Korver.
You know, but to me, role players, it's not about, you know, I need you to show up 4 or 5 games out of a 7-game series. I need you to have one good game and give me about 2 or 3 moments in a game.
I get that, but at the same time, when, like, I need you this game, will you? That I get what you're saying. Like, I only need you for one game, but that one game is the time the nigga ain't gonna show up.
No, I feel, but that's the reason why you have multiple role players, and that's why there's a difference between having a regular role player and a championship role.
But more importantly, I think just in terms of what they want to do, he definitely fits. So.
Who are the other two teams that were involved? Minnesota. Minnesota took a whole bunch of role players. They got a 1st-round pick. They got that Brooklyn and pick.
Smashed the Clippers with that new roster.
Yep. And then they did. You know,
that was the full Clipper roster, too.
It was a full Clipper roster. I think that, you know, moving off of Wiggins, because remember, that was also after the Wiggins trade. So they made that first trade and part of that 4-team trade to get that first-round pick to be able to go get D'Angelo Russell. And once they were able to do that, I just think that just as an organization, as a locker room, probably a lot of that weight was lifted. Like, okay, let's –
We need to have a conversation about Carl Anthony Towns, too.
And we need to have one about Wiggins.
Well, let's get to it. Why? So Golden State trades Russell to get Wiggins, pretty much to get Wiggins back. Mm-hmm.
And a first-round pick.
And a first-round pick that they lost by trading for Russell.
Well,
what is, like, one, my first question is, why do people move off of Russell? I understand why the Lakers did. But in Brooklyn, he took you to the playoffs, was an all-star.
In
Golden State, I'm not saying he was the best, but he didn't seem like he was hurting.
But Brooklyn makes sense, too.
Yeah, now Brooklyn made sense because you were trying to sign Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and you wouldn't be able to sign both of them because they gave Caris LeVert money and they gave somebody else money as well.
Yeah.
So just the money situation wouldn't have made sense, so they signed and traded him to get KD.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, you traded D'Angelo Russell to get KD. I would do that, too.
So then what about Golden State?
Golden State, I think that Golden State, I don't want to say that they made a mistake. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because they have been the smartest team in the league for the last 5 to 6 years.
Almost a decade, yeah.
Almost a decade. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. However, personally, I would have liked to seen them wait to the offseason because I think that you would have had more options, especially knowing what pick you have. Like, because if you have the number one pick and D'Angelo Russell, you could have got something better than Andrew Wiggins.
I also think it's kind of hard to judge because we never got a chance to see him play.
That's what I mean, yeah.
So we can't really fault him because we can't predict injuries. So I think and Kerr did come out and say that they always kind of had a feeling it was going to be an awkward fit, but we still didn't get to see exactly how awkward that would be.
Here's the thing, and I think, you know, the Golden State Warriors, they say all of the right things.
Mm-hmm.
They are a model franchise, and even though I think it could have been an awkward fit, I still think it would have worked because Steph Curry is about to be 32. This is not unanimous MVP 27-year-old Curry. This is 5 years later. You know what I'm saying? You start to slow down. We know what happens when you start getting into them 30s, especially as a basketball player, right? So I think that what D'Angelo Russell would have allowed him to do is two things. Number one, extend the timeline of their championship window. That's number one. Number two, allow Steph Curry to play off the ball a little bit more. Because you remember early on, I said Steph Curry got old man game. And the main reason why is because he could shoot. Shooting never goes in. You can be 50 years old and shoot like Steph Curry shoot in the NBA. Steph Curry's going to be around for a very long time. But he doesn't need to handle the rock as much as he does. That's where D'Angelo Russell comes in. I think that it could have extended what Steph Curry does. Obviously, it's a defensive liability now. Because now you're not just hiding Steph. You also have to hide D'Angelo.
Yeah.
So I kind of get it, but it's just interesting, and like I said, I would have wanted to wait to the offseason because if you get the number one pick, you get James Wiseman.
So you're saying that the Warriors should have waited to the offseason to make the trade?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because if you were hell-bent or it didn't work with Steph and D'Angelo and you saw it,
you
and you got, you and you have, let's say, you get the 2nd pick in the draft,
yeah.
now you have more firepower to get a bigger haul than Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to Andrew Wiggins, even though he hasn't lived up to the draft stock, to the contract, to nothing. But if we look at it systematically, physically, he fits better with what they got going on.
When you say that about Andrew Wiggins, are you saying that his stats are just empty calories?
100%.
Okay.
None of his stats promote winning.
All right. What about Carl Anthony Towns?
I think Cat, and you know I always say this about big men. What's the number one thing a big man needs?
A little guy.
And, okay. And he hasn't had one.
So we need to wait to see how he plays with D'Lo?
How do you feel about him and D'Lo? You think that's that's going to have impact on the league?
Too.
Yeah, I think they're in a better situation than they were with Wiggins.
Did you hear this stat about Carl Anthony Towns?
What's that?
He has the second most losses for a number one pick after Oluwakandi.
Yeah, he got like wasn't one of the most recent wins he got, like the first one he got since like November?
Yeah.
I was like, damn, even losing like that?
Yeah.
Cat has a lot of talent. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA. Play inside, play out. He can do it all.
You're doing a Stephen A. Smith. Build him up to break him down.
You should not be losing at the high volume that he's losing, especially when you have other talented players around you. When you have Wiggins and they had somebody else before they traded him, it's inexcusable.
Well, here let me ask you this about Cat. Do you think that that's more of a representation of Cat or the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Because I was going to say, Kevin Love was losing a lot too, and he was putting up gaudy numbers.
He was, but
granted, he didn't have the best talent. Like, Cat has had more talent around him than K Love. Yeah.
Outside of the Jimmy Buckets year,
they had like Jimmy Butler.
I know that was the last time they made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But outside of that one year, I can make an argument that both of those rosters were very similar.
I don't know how to answer your question, FIFO, honestly, because we know that when Flip died, that affected the organization in a big way. The roster hasn't been great, but it feels like I should see a little bit more than what we've been seeing. And he doesn't like losing. He's publicly admitted that. He said, I can't stand it. And I think that's another reason why to make that move, to try to make him happy.
Of course. It takes a toll when you lose that many games. And in the midst of those games, he's had great games. But it's not enough to overcome. So here, the reason why I asked that question is because we see that Cat has everything. He has everything that you want, right? But when I look at the organization, I always ask, like, what's your identity? What's your direction?
It should have been built around Cat.
And it was, which is the reason originally why they made the move for Wiggins. This is where I feel that Minnesota messed up, is when they traded LaVine for buckets. Jimmy. Because I love Zach. 100%. I've been on Zach LaVine since he came out of UCLA. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that you gave up three guys that were under the age of 21, all three of them averaging 20 points a game.
And they were winning.
And
They were learning.
They were learning. Yes. It was the process.
Exactly.
It was the process. Exactly. And Jimmy kind of expedited the process, but he disrupted the cohesiveness of what that team was coming.
That team looked like they could win the process. This team don't look like they can win at all. That's the difference.
They can't. And then, you know, who did they draft? I want to say it's Jarrett Culver this past draft.
Yeah.
So you see like that.
And
that,
I do like him.
I do like him, but he's I think he's probably just gonna be a role player. Because he hasn't even really had moments like that.
He's had a no, he hasn't.
He hasn't had moments. So when I look at these Minnesota Timberwolves, I'm like, okay, what's the identity? What's the direction? And I think that now, after getting rid of Wiggins and bringing in D'Lo, you have a direction. But now it's building up the rest of that roster around it. Because we know that both D'Angelo and Cat are defensive liabilities. And I think Cat could play a lot better defense. For some reason, he just, at the NBA level, he's just not there, right? It's one of those things. So the rest of the guys that they need to add are going to be 3-and-D type of guys.
So you got Cat, you got D'Lo, you got two pieces. Culver may or may not be a piece. We don't know. So now what do you do? So
you got to start getting veterans.
Going to be the coach from here on out?
Well, I like what is he, Flip Saunders Jr.? I know it's the son of Flip Saunders.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, I'm sorry. But I like the timeline. I like his age with a young roster. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's the right
Ryan
guy.
Saunders.
Ryan Saunders. So I don't know if he is long term. I don't know if he's a championship coach.
He's not long term.
You know what I'm saying? I think that he could be the coach to get him finally on the right path, but they're going to have to bring somebody else.
Yeah, we're not thinking championship. We just want to get a winning culture, get to the playoffs, and then.
But I still feel like he's not that. I think they need like a Mark Jackson.
I put it to you like this. Ryan Saunders has next year, and they got to do – they have to – the product that goes on the floor has to be better than what – this year is a wash.
Yeah, yeah,
it's, yeah. Because you're not going.
You got too many things moving around.
You know what I'm saying? So let's scratch this one out. What do they look like next year? That's the biggest question, and I think that's what's gonna tip the balance for Ryan Saunders.
All right, so let's get back
to the Rock.
I know that don't sound like it was all related, but it was because D'Lo just went to the Wolves. But so you're Capella. I like the move. I didn't know about the stats, about the rating stats, and stuff like that, but. I think for, them being outside, I mean, having Trey and Cam and Huter, and I think it'll work. We'll see. But I do like the mind that this organization seems to have because it feels like they're making all the right trades and all the right picks.
They are.
Whereas in the past, we didn't have any of that.
But I feel like they made that Clint Capella trade to get more defensive savvy, but that goes against your point because I feel like, obviously, they don't need him to score anything.
Or maybe – D'Antoni wasn't using him right. We have to see how he plays.
Yeah, but I think so the Hawks are the worst rebounding team in the NBA.
Yeah.
And Capella is one of the better rebounders. Mm-hmm. So from a defensive perspective, maybe his net rating with Houston was down because of the pace of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't have the honest answer. Yeah. And I'm not saying that he's the greatest big man. I think Andre Drummond is a better defensive big than Clint Capella. However, Clint Capella averaged double-digit rebounds.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why the Hawks were so bad at rebounding, John Collins missed almost half the, you know what I'm saying?
And you look at these Hawks scores, like 140 to 135, like you can't have that going on.
Exactly. It? But you also seen that since John Collins has come back, it's not like, oh, my God, they're winning all these games. But they're even more competitive now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Capella's going to make them even more competitive. I think really what the Hawks are missing is another perimeter guy that is super consistent. Because Huter's not consistent. Like, he's had some moments this year.
He's been hurt, too.
And, he's been in and out with injuries. Cam Reddish just doesn't look like he's mentally ready for the NBA.
Why don't you just do a callback? Get Jamal Crawford up there, boy. Just have him come off the bench, do his thing.
The interesting thing about Cam Reddish, I read an interview, is, like, he didn't know the NBA was this tough. So, mentally, yes, it's mental for him.
Yeah, it's mental.
He's gotten a lot better, though.
He has?
But this concussion, I hope it didn't set him back.
Yeah, I can tell a lot just by watching. And it's not a physical thing with Cam. Obviously, he's 19, so to a degree, but it's more mental.
And RJ said the same thing, because remember, I know but he struggled for a while. Then he got it going, then he sprained his ankle. Now he's, in the words of Stephen A. Smith, moving in a reverse direction. But he said the volume of games was a lot for him. He said he wasn't used to playing back to back and playing four games in a week, so it took him a while to adjust. So I think he hit his wall a lot earlier than most players did.
And even DeAndre Hunter, you know what I'm saying? I love that pick for the Hawks as well, but he's been inconsistent as well. So yeah, I just think that once the rest of the perimeter gets consistent, the Hawks are formidable.
We buried the lead when we talked about the trade deadline. Because we got to talk about L.A.
Which one?
Both sides.
Both of them?
Both sides.
Okay.
Because my question is, did L.A.
Why is it sad?
Did L.A. lose or did the Clippers win with them getting Morris and the Lakers losing out on Darren Collison?
All right, here's what I'll say, and then I'll hand it over.
Losing out on who?
Darren Collison.
So he signed?
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. He's staying retired.
Okay. That's cool. They still Jamal Crawford out there, and I think Jamal is better than Darren, but.
And they're talking. I don't know why they want to get Deion Waiters, but whatever.
Who?
The Lakers.
I thought it was J.R. Smith.
Yeah, it's
they were going to bring J.R. in, but there was a report that's saying that they're going to talk to Deion Waiters too.
So Memphis is going to buy out
the
Deion?
Heat or the Memphis?
No. The Heat traded Deion Waiters to Memphis.
And
for Iguodala.
Yes, the Grizzlies are waived him.
They wait. Wow.
They wait waiters. Waiters. Well, anyway.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I know.
But, so my first thought was, damn, the Clippers got freaking Marcus Morris because we know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
We know who he is. He's not afraid of LeBron. Nope. It's another body they can throw at him.
At both LeBron and AD.
And AD. And wear them boys out. They got PG. They got Kawhi. Now they got Marcus Morris.
It's somebody you got to account for. You can't just lead a man in the corner.
Yeah, and but on defensive end, like, you know, make it tough for them offensively because they obviously have to carry the load. I also wondered if they were playing, like, war games with them. Make them think they were really trying to get him and make them give up some assets on their team in order to acquire him. Looking at what they gave up, they ain't really give up much to get him.
Mm-mm.
So that didn't work out if that was the play. Because they still kept Beverly. They still kept Harold.
They kept everybody
they
needed.
Like, what the hell?
They just added Marcus Morris.
Yeah, like, so it's just, like, freaking crazy. And then the Lakers got nobody. LeBron believes in the team. Fine. But it's not that I don't believe in LeBron and the team. It's that at some point, the firepower the Clippers have would just overwhelm anybody, and not just the Lakers.
100%.
And LeBron's not a spring chicken. He's, you know what I mean? Like, he's not in his prime. And when you throw Kawhi Leonard one quarter, Paul George one quarter,
but
Marcus Morris one quarter, Pat Bev one quarter, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, damn,
it's
like,
all right, it's a lot.
So let's move the Lakers out. Let's just look at the team they'll place in the East, which will probably be the Bucks. At some point, they will overwhelm them too, right? Mm-hmm.
They got too much length. They got more length than the Lakers, I would say.
They got more perimeter length, but I don't think they have more they front have, court. Oh, well, yeah, the Lopez twins.
And they got – who did the Bucks just get, too? Didn't they get – they picked up somebody. I think he's a shooter as well. But they got, like, long shooters pretty much. So it's like not only do they have the length to possibly do some defensive things, make it hard to get some inside passes, but those shooters can shoot over those little guards that they got.
I'll put it to you like this. So I understand the reason why the Lakers stood pat, right? Kyle Kuzma don't make enough money. He makes $2 million a year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to get somebody else that's a veteran that's going to add championship moxie to this squad, you would have to give up too much to get that. And the return wasn't worth what you were going to give up. And I understand that. And I also understand it from this perspective. Kyle Kuzma just got to step the fuck up. That's just what has to happen.
We keep making excuses for this dude.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Like, what do I always say? It's two things, right? Like, the playoffs mature you.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been.
Well, what do you think is going to happen when he go if he can't handle the regular season?
So why are you saying he can't handle the regular
season?
He's
been inconsistent,
But he's still in his 3-5. He's still in it.
They're counting on him to be that third
piece. I understand that. And when you're a third guy, you know, you got to show up about three to four games in a playoff series. And I don't know if he could do that just yet. But he has to play in it so that way maybe it won't be this year that he can give you that. It might be next year. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, in the whole Darren Collison thing, right, go get Jamal Crawford.
But he's a scorer, but he be bricking at the wrong time, bro.
But then you can't trust nobody then. So the Lakers got who they got.
Yeah.
Because now we're just picking at the bottom. If we're talking about Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith.
But I don't think
We're literally picking at the bottom of the barrel of talent.
But that's what they got.
But that's all they need. Look, first of all, we're acting like they're sixth in the damn West. That's number one. They're number one in the West.
But does that matter?
It does matter. It means that all they need is a piece. And it doesn't mean like a major piece. Remember what LeBron said when they had K-Love, Kyrie, and himself? We're top heavy. They're not top heavy. And that's the reason why they have depth.
Who, the Lakers?
The Lakers are not top heavy.
They're definitely top heavy. They're just LeBron and AD.
Yeah, they are.
Who else are you? When we just talked about the Clippers, and then we just talked about the Lakers are just LeBron, AD. You ain't going past that as far as, like,
Kawhi taking the easy way out again.
Do they have a Lou Williams? Do they have a Marcus Morris? Do they have a Pat Bev?
I've said from the beginning of the season, before they even added Marcus Morris, that the Clippers are way deeper. But it doesn't mean that the Lakers don't have enough championship moxie on that squad.
And
they just got to add a little bit to it.
But who? They didn't.
But I'm just saying, but they can still. Deion Waiters, they can add.
What is Deion Waiters going to do?
First of all, we know he's tough. We know he don't take no BS.
So is a $5 steak. But I don't
Wait. I think there is a point, not in terms of his scoring ability and talent, in terms of his mentality. Because Stephen A. is reporting that the Clippers have said that they don't have any dogs on the Lakers. Not one. And they said they got like four or five. Deion Waiters has that mentality that he don't care about anybody. Yep.
And we see when he gets hot, bro. Like, he's one of the better scorers when he gets hot.
All I'm saying is right now, the Clippers are three. They're tied with Denver for the number two seed. And they're 3 games behind the Lakers.
Okay. Which, and so is Denver 3 games behind the
Lakers. Yeah, so is Denver. Yeah. So, but obviously, Denver is not as good as – they ain't going to be there. But the
Why
Clippers –
why would they discredit Denver like that?
Because they don't have the –
they're
have
the same record as the Clippers.
They don't have a superstar.
Jokic?
Joker is not a superstar?
Joker going to take you over the top?
He can.
You could build around him.
But this year, do you see the Denver Nuggets going to the Western Conference Finals?
They can.
Or going to the NBA Finals?
I don't think they make it to the NBA Finals.
I'm just saying, like.
But they can make it far.
I know we're talking basketball and we got to cover a lot of teams, but let's keep it a buck. We already know what teams is going to be there. You know what
do
I'm saying?
Do we, though?
We do. Let's not act
the LA
like we
teams.
Don't. And let's not talk about the Lakers like they're a lot better than the rest of the West, the teams
in
the
West. I'm not saying that. My point when I said that they're number one is the fact that they're not number six or number seven. They're not struggling.
I didn't say they were struggling because you got LeBron and AD. But outside of that, you don't have anybody that really
Well, to be honest,
puts
nobody,
fear in his
nobody
heart.
Had the Lakers as the number one seed in the West.
No, we didn't.
Even with LeBron and AD. We tossed it out, well, you got LeBron and AD. But people were under.
But it's not
that
surprising that you're number one seed with LeBron and AD.
Yes, it is.
In the
I
West?
Didn't expect it, but it's not that surprising.
It is still somewhat surprising. And I'm still waiting for them to show some slippage. I'm still waiting for that to happen. The Clippers have underperformed this season.
Because
I'm still waiting for them to get their shit together. Well, let's not overlook them.
No, I'm not saying, again, I'm not overlooking anybody. I'm just saying that for the Clippers, they did a whole.
It sounds like we always pick on the Lakers, and we never pick on the Clippers.
The Clippers have done a whole roster changeover.
If LeBron had that
and
team.
And the Lakers have not?
If LeBron had that team, and he was the second team, and they were struggling or underperforming, what do you think people would say?
100%. We'd be all over
them. But are they really that underperforming?
Yes.
Like the Clippers? Like in what way? In what way?
They should be running away.
They should have
the
same record as the Bucks, bro.
Yep.
The same record.
We're talking about championship coach. We talk about finals, multiple finals MVP. We're talking about their second best player got MVP votes the last couple of seasons.
But they've been dealing with injuries as well. I'm just saying we do the same thing with the Lakers. When we talked about LeBron was out for that, when LeBron last year he got hurt, that affected
why
the season.
They,
that
was why are just, they dealing with injuries?
Yep.
What do you mean?
Because Kawhi chooses to sit out.
He don't, all right,
Paul George
on.
Is the only one that's legit hurt.
All right.
Or
so we don't believe who hurt now. That's what you're saying.
People are saying.
So
that
then when I was
people are saying that the injury is legit, I'm gonna take them at their word. All I'm saying is that he's choosing to sit out and manage.
You sound like injury. Me when I'm talking about Steph and how he was choosing to sit out with that.
That
hand.
Was an organizational decision.
Steph right, is see, really hurt though.
All right, come on. That's what I'm saying. Like, let's be honest. Do you see the Lakers beating the Clippers when it comes down to it?
They can.
Do you see the Lakers beating?
They can. I can't say that. I can't tell you today, right now, who's going to win the championship. I can tell you who's going to compete
who's construct,
for the championship.
But I'm saying who's construct the team are construct the teams are what they are right now. I don't see that any like you can add Deion, but that doesn't do anything.
I feel you. All I'm saying is this: is that there's about 3 to 5 teams that can win the championship. The Lakers are in that discussion. I'm not. To me, there's no clear cut favorite right now.
To answer
outside of Milwaukee.
To answer your question, prior to the Marcus Morris trade, I thought the Lakers could beat the Clippers based on the two games that I saw. They just need to learn how to close the games because they've had double digit leads in both of them. So after the Marcus Morris trade, I think it's going to be a lot tougher now. Can they beat him? I think they could beat him. Is it likely? I just got to see what happens from here. It's probably more unlikely. That team is just too stacked. We're trying to rely on a 35-year-old LeBron and AD who looks like he's coasting now.
But let me ask you this, Ken. If the Lakers do beat the Clippers, would you be surprised?
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
So that's the whole point. At the end of the day, right now, there's about 3 to 5 teams that can win.
Because really, all it would come down to is we're looking at Lou Williams, we're looking at Harrell, we're looking at Pat Bev, who's trying to be Draymond Green. But if Danny Green hits his shots, if all these people that are known for shoot,
we cheering? Are we doing cheers right now? Because we drinking.
Is Danny Green not a 3-point specialist?
Exactly. Is Danny Green not a multiple champion?
Yeah.
Is Danny Green somebody you want to rely upon when it comes down to it?
Yes. He's a Absolutely. Championship role player.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Why not? We've seen him do it. Have we not seen him do it?
Now, we're not saying that you go feature Danny Green. Like, hey, Danny Green, get us a bucket.
Who's the third best player on this Lakers team?
Kyle Kuzma.
Yep. And you guys have you guys have been disappointed with his play
so far.
He's
just inconsistent
because you don't anticipate him being that helpful in the playoffs.
If he gets his shit together, he can be. But
I don't have a lot of confidence in him. We've seen him go in spurts, get buckets.
Yes, but I'll say this. I think that has a lot to do with Vogel than Kuzma, because I think Kuzma may be a little bit unsatisfied with his role.
I think it's the minutes and when he gets the minutes. But I think, and we know this about playoff basketball, the rotation gets tightened up.
Mm-hmm.
Kuzma's going to get those minutes. Kuzma's going to finish those games. Kuzma's going to get those opportunities.
Really?
Yes.
If he doesn't prove it in the regular
Kuzma's
season, he'll
going
get in the playoffs?
You
got to play him.
You got to play him. You got to play him.
He's the third best player on the team.
Exactly. You got to play him, and he's going to get those third man shots.
But he's not. But I feel like when you say he's the third best player on the team, it's not with confidence. It's just more of like based off the field, you're the third best player.
But he's
so
also,
that doesn't give him confidence.
But he's also proven again in spurts. Like he's had games where he scored that first game that AD was out in the season.
He
came in and scored like 30 some points.
He's played better when he is the second guy.
He has.
What's the one thing you told me
that just recently about basketball?
Mm-hmm.
You said if you can only be the guy when someone's not there, that means you ain't the guy.
Who can we trust on the Clippers?
That's true, but we know. But hold on, Ken. But we know that Kyle Kuzma was never drafted to be a franchise changing type of guy. We know that. Kyle Kuzma is an addition to whatever you have going on. We know, and I'm not trying to build Kyle Kuzma up like he's the man. Not at all. But he is a piece.
But now his role is a franchise-changing player.
Because the third guy is never a franchise-changing player. Your first two guys are.
But what do you mean the third guy isn't? We went through a big three era. We just went through
of established superstars.
What I'm saying is this: you can't just win it with one and two, right?
You can.
Is that what the Clippers are? Just one and two?
Primarily.
Is that
the rest of those guys are role players?
Is that what the Bucks are? Just one and two?
They're one.
Yeah, Chris Middleton has stepped up, but it's still pretty much one.
I'm just saying, like, you need a whole team. You need to have like bodies, like guys.
You need guys that are complementary to what your number one does.
That's the Warriors have led. The Warriors and I think just the Warriors have kind of led us to believe that because they had like four guys
exactly,
and then they had all role players. But before the Warriors, it was the big three with LeBron. It was
Boston.
Boston. It was LeBron and Kate and Kyrie. That was it. It was two.
But then look at what Philly tried to do. They try to have a big three, and they still are trying to have a big three. When they had
who's the third?
It was supposed to be Jimmy.
Tobias.
And then now it's Tobias. And then you look at
Tobias is more Kuzma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is,
so then the same feeling you got with him, I would say that's what Kuzma got.
But I'll put it to you like this: Kuzma and Tobias both are about 18 to 19 point scorers. That's what your third guy needs to be. That's exactly what your third guy is. Your third guy does not have to be a superstar.
But you talked about also that there's going to be a game in a series where I need more than 18 and 19.
Okay, and in the playoffs
you can get that.
And you can get that.
You trust him with that.
Yeah, okay. because he gets buckets. We know that. And if you average 18 points, that means that most games you get about 16 to 17, and some games you get about 30. It happens.
What
some
I
want to
know is who can we trust on the Clippers?
I trust Lou Will.
Yeah, that's the first person I was going to say. Outside of their dynamic duo, obviously we trust them. But, like, the next guy is Lou.
And
Lou Will's the third guy on that spot.
I trust you talked about the dog. I trust the dog in Marcus Morris. He ain't backing down from nobody. Now, granted, that doesn't mean he's always going to make the right play.
Sometimes he's more bark than bite.
Well, he's talking a lot of shit to LeBron. I'm just talking about as far as like his role and what he will do. I'm not going to be surprised about what he does
because he's
consistent.
But you know what, though? We're talking about all of these dogs in a positive way for the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it in a positive way for the Lakers. You've played basketball with me. You haven't yet. You about to get your ass whooped.
You keep on saying
But we know this, right? We've seen it. Because I'm one of those guys. You talk shit to me, my game elevates. What do we know about LeBron?
He steps it up.
Don't fucking wake that sleeping giant. Because LeBron may be chilling. The three quarters may have 12 points or whatever. And you, Marcus Morris, Pat Bev, all them motherfuckers start talking shit. And then LeBron, LeBron, out of everybody off of those two rosters, has that next level. That even beyond a Kawhi, beyond a
PG. So you don't think Kawhi could cancel him out?
I think for
at LeBron's age now is
but I still
I mean that's what we're talking about.
But I still think LeBron has in him moments, not no six games out of a seven game. He just don't physically.
Kawhi gonna be checking LeBron like
he's
that.
He's not gonna check. No, he's not gonna check him every. He ain't gonna be on him all the time.
LeBron has moments still.
But
left.
when we're aware of those moments, because you can see it like momentum. You mm-hmm. go, all right, LeBron's hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
ain't nothing you can do.
Kawhi, go get him.
And Kawhi ain't gonna be able to do nothing. Can't nobody do nothing with LeBron when LeBron is feeling it.
I don't trust Paul George in the playoffs.
You just wanted to say that.
But he has a point.
What have the last 2 years shown?
I'm not saying anything, but the level requirement from Paul George, I think, is a lot less than what he was in OKC. Because again, he has a better roster.
Doesn't matter.
Same thing, man.
Doesn't matter.
And bigger expectations, bro.
Because you know what playoff basketball really comes down to is this. It's mental toughness. Because your body's already broken down. You don't play 82 games. To get even to your conference finals, how many games you got to play? You got to play two series. So you're talking about potentially 14
Paul
extra
hasn't
games.
Been healthy this whole season.
Hasn't been healthy the whole season. Look, there's a lot that goes into it, right? And it's just like when Mike Tyson said when he used to step in the ring, I could look at you and I know you're already like Paul George doesn't necessarily instill fear when you walk on that court. Mm-hmm. You just know that he's going to be a tough opponent, but you're not scared of him.
The
he
name
Dame
sounds
Lillard.
Good. The name sounds exactly. good. And that's going to be a lot of lifting for Kawhi, but we but yeah, that's how Lakers Clippers talk. But look, the Bucks, man. You keep looking at the Clippers. We need to look. I mean, the Lakers, the Bucks, man.
You know what?
As far as like the one who could take everybody down.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because they got Marvin Williams.
They are being slept on.
Mm-hmm. That's because it's Milwaukee. That's why.
Well, no. You know what it is? They haven't won the big game.
What's the big game?
What big game? They beat the Lakers. Clippers twice. Yeah.
Didn't they beat the Lakers too?
And they beat the Clippers twice.
What are we?
Are we talking
regular season? Yes. Are we talking championships? No. See, look, the Milwaukee Bucks got all the credit already. They got the best record. They got the MVP, Greek Freak, all this.
Wasn't that last year too?
That's
your point?
That's my point. Now for them to get the type of talk that you're talking about, they got to get to the finals, Ken. And they got to show up. If they lose, you know how I always say, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. What happened last year in the playoffs against Toronto?
They should be getting more respect, bro. They got the MVP of the league and nobody looking at them.
And I feel you. And you know why? Because how many games they won against Toronto last year in the playoffs?
They won two.
That's why, Ken. That's why.
All right, man.
This year, look. To me, Milwaukee is literally championship or bust. They ain't no, we made it to the final, to the Eastern Conference Finals. It was a good season.
That's why they're whooping everybody's ass.
I feel you. But they're not going to get the credit until they make it to the finals. And then you can't lose 4-2 in the finals or 4-1 in
the
finals.
They winning that shit.
They better win it.
They will win it.
So you got them as that's your favorite.
Who can beat them in the
East?
They are
the favorite.
I'm not talking about just the East. I'm talking about.
They're the favorite.
They should be the favorite.
Can't nobody stop Giannis, man. Let's be honest. Come on, man. And he hitting threes. What you going to do with that?
They have the best record in the league. They have the former MVP of the league.
Maybe two-time MVP.
He might be two-time. They're going to give it to LeBron this year.
Now, you see Giannis's per?
You see that record? Bro?
You see Giannis's per? His per is almost 35. Bro. Do you understand? Like,
LeBron
the league
has the
average
story, though. I can see it now, man.
They've only lost seven games, man.
I know. That's what I'm trying.
You know they give the MVP to the best record in the league?
Not all the time.
Watch.
Yeah, I mean, Russell did something that no one ever did before.
If LeBron finished the season with the number one record, number one seed in the West, over that vaunted Clippers team that everybody was so in love with when the trade happened and then don't give a damn about
But the Bucks got better wins than the Lakers right now. When it comes, if you want to go season-wise, They got better wins against better teams. The Lakers have been losing to that loss.
Maybe,
and I know it was because Kobe Bryant, you know, recently passed. That loss to Portland doesn't look good.
So let's talk more trade deadline. So what other things happened during the trade deadline? Because I feel like we're getting off the schneid a little bit.
Let me see. Well, it was also, I mean, the Grizzlies made some moves, but that
they
was
got Drummond. Drummond. You know, I felt a certain type of way about that.
Why?
About his comments or just what they
or
did?
Or just them letting him go?
What Detroit got in return. You mean to tell me that the Hawks
Brandon
weren't giving
Knight,
you something
John
better?
Brandon Knight, John Hinson, and a 2023
second round
pick.
for a guy, for the most double-doubles in the NBA.
He like averages 15.8 rebounds a game.
16 freaking rebounds, bro. By your damn self.
He averaged more rebounds than some players have average points.
100%. So to me.
He has more rebounds than players average minutes.
That too. Like, I don't understand, and I wish B was here, but I really don't know what the Pistons are doing. What the hell are the Pistons doing? Because I said it. Y'all see it in the group chat. It's time to move off of Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond.
He done.
Rebuild, right? And he is. But that's what you got every time, bro. For that, you might as well kept him.
I think that says a lot about the organization. Just like, we done. Because, like, you don't make that decision if you really care about, oh, let's get this right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more of like, I just want to get him off the books. We can figure it out later. Let's just get something back.
That was horrible.
Warriors trade Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III to Philly for 3 second-round picks.
Yeah. Philly needs shooters.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Philly, man. Come on.
Hold on. Because I know that's going to go long. Let's talk about Miami.
Okay.
So Miami went out and got
So Iggy, Jay Crowder, and Solomon Hill.
Yep.
They and shipped out Justice Winslow, Deion Waiters, and James Johnson. They went to Memphis. And Memphis, boy, Ja, about to get them boys in the playoffs, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I hope not.
I don't know. The Pelicans might catch them.
I'll say, look
we'll,
at the
we'll get
Portland
to in a bit.
Portland, too.
Yeah, they always finish the second half strong. And then the Wolves got in on trades, and then Gorgui Jang to the Grizzlies for Johnson. So it's just blah, blah, blah. Iggy, I will say this. I was told so wrong about Justice Winslow.
He's gotten better.
I see it. He just can't stay healthy.
Yep.
But I thought he was gonna be like that dude.
You did,
man.
And I was
coming
like,
coming out of Duke, I thought he was gonna be a lot better than he was.
I did.
And he barely became a 3-and-D guy.
Nah, because he never had a three in college. He didn't have a three. He just now recently developed it. Obviously, this season he only took 11 3-point shots this season because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
But last year he took that big jump in the 3-point department. And I like him. He's solid. But I always told you he's a role player. He's a championship role player. He's a Shane Battier type. You know what I'm saying? Not no star, but you definitely – he's a winning player.
I thought he was going to be a
so he got overdrafted.
Or at least an all-star.
Where did he get drafted? He was
went,
in the lottery. He was
yeah,
a late lottery.
Ninth. Yeah, late ninth.
I thought he was top five.
Nah.
He went to Miami because Miami thought they got a steal.
Yeah.
They were so hyped about
him. And he was good, but –
same with, like, was it Napier?
Well, that was because of Bron. But
he did them wrong.
But I like the fact that you kind of moved off of another young player to bring in another veteran, because obviously these young guys are just overplaying, and I don't have the reason why. I know Spo, I've always said Spo's a great coach. Obviously Jimmy Butler coming in there with that mentality, I know that's rubbed off on a lot of those guys. But bringing in a guy like Iggy for the playoffs, and especially even with that contract extension that he got, Miami's going to be formidable.
I don't think so.
I wish that they would have got Gallinari. You know why they didn't get Gallinari?
Why?
Because Gallinari wanted like a 3-year contract extension.
He should be happy somebody wanted his ass.
100. But Pat Riley wants to keep financial flexibility for the 2021 free agency.
Is that when Giannis is up too?
Yep. So that's a really good. I don't know if Miami's gonna get him, but they'll have the cap room to get him. And then you know they just want they want to be able to.
You got to be in the dance.
Exactly.
Curry want him.
They might get his ass, boy.
But so you say you're not afraid of Miami at all?
Nah, man.
But Miami's beat all of the best teams in the East outside of Milwaukee,
and they've lost them as well. But
so who? They ain't lose to Philly. They ain't lose.
Have lost to Philly yet?
No, they 3-0. They 3-0 against.
They've lost to Philly?
Miami?
I could have sworn. Yeah, I think
no,
they've lost to Philly.
No, Philly's like 3-0 against Boston, but Miami's 3-0 against Philly.
I don't know, man. Hold on.
Look it up.
But I don't think Iggy is gonna help them as much as people are thinking he will.
Why not?
Yo. I think his time has passed, bro. I think his time has passed. I think he's more of a defensive specialist now. I think he can make game-winning plays when they need him, which I guess would be helpful in the playoffs. But
Ken, it's not
just
like
not feeling it.
It's not like we're getting the Iggy from Philly that was averaging, you know, 20 points a game.
Yeah.
But we're getting still a very athletic small forward that can guard 1 through 4, depending on who the four is, right? Like small ball lineup fours. Mm-hmm. He's gonna, like you said, make winning plays, and he got young cats on the squad. What did I just say about playing in the playoffs, right? It's what matures you. And now not only are these three young guys, Kendrick Nunn, Tyler Hero, and Duncan Robinson, gonna be in the playoffs and get that experience, now you have a guy to actually help you break it down outside of Jimmy, outside of Pat Riley. You know what I'm saying? Like another player that's going to be on the court helping expedite that maturation process. So I like it on all fronts. And I'm not saying, oh, my God, they're going to win the champion. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they are going to be more formidable than what they were already going to be.
So I don't know if this is
– this is recent. I got the one right here.
I got – 3 Heat wins, but I do got a Philly win.
Yeah, it's 3-1.
Oh, okay, 3-1. Yeah. But I knew that they won 3.
I knew that they beat them once.
Okay.
I knew that they beat them. I didn't say the number. I knew they beat them. But, yeah.
But Miami's had their number, and Jimmy's played really good in all of those victories. So, but who else did we say? We really didn't talk about Wiggins, or did we?
I don't think you need to talk about
it. Okay, we'll leave that.
Yeah, Rockets. Yeah.
I actually want to see him. I want to see time with him before I say anything. Because maybe it was the environment. Maybe the Golden State can bring something
out. You know what, though? Me personally, I would like to see them move off of Wiggins with this pick in the offseason.
Which is probably what they're thinking about.
Yeah, anyway. And just get somebody else.
Unless he does something crazy and be like, all right, we may need to keep him, but I doubt
he
it.
He ain't going to do
it. Are we ready to talk about Philly?
Are there any other trades?
You trying to avoid Philly?
Nothing notable, man.
Right. We can talk Philly.
What's going on with Philly, man? I missed the episode.
I told y'all, man.
What you mean? I've been saying it from the jump.
No, you're saying it for different reasons.
Yep.
But I'm saying it just based on what when I get evidence of what I'm seeing. Like I saw a good team, then I came on here and said something is wrong. They are not together. I told y'all about the Clippers. That shit came true. Again, too. Same thing. They have some internal locker room issues.
Yep. When Al Horford talks, it's real.
And that's why it's impacting their record.
So
that's it.
Yep. So
if
you were a GM, who would you get rid of?
Nobody. I will get rid of I'll answer your question. Brett Brown.
I've been saying Brett Brown should have been left. After that
Yep.
The last Boston series they had, I think it was like 2 years ago. I was like, Brett Brown need to go.
That was too early.
But I seen what he was going. I saw who he was.
That was too early.
You didn't need to see more.
Sometimes you got to give coaches just a little bit, especially with a young roster.
Again,
and in that series that you're talking about, to me that was more about the inexperience of Philly versus Brett Brown.
But he didn't.
And they were a Kawhi lucky bounce away from going to the finals.
Exactly.
We can't knock him for that.
Exactly.
You know,
like what? Literally on that play, what else could have Embiid hedged a little bit more? Could Ben Simmons play a little bit harder on D? Bro, you're looking at the last second.
I'm looking at that series.
No, I'm looking at that series. Went 7 games and they lost at the end of the clock.
But he's always been bad at the end of the clock.
They lost on a shot by
exactly,
Kawhi.
Exactly.
I should rephrase.
It wasn't necessarily X's and O's. Right. It wasn't this, that, and the third. Right. It was literally a. Offense beating defense.
I'm not trying to give excuses for him, but I do. We have to give him credit for that because I mean they almost went to the finals. He deserves that much credit.
The Eastern Conference Finals, not the NBA
yes.
Finals.
Yes.
No, the NBA Finals.
It was the Eastern Conference because that's when Toronto went to go play Milwaukee.
You're right.
So it wasn't.
But still,
they were gonna lose something. Regardless, probably.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. But either way, we won't know about that. Yep. But still, at the end of the day, we've saw what he can do. Now the question is that your ceiling? And then you look at what's happening now. Look at Ben Simmons not listening to you. You can't really control the team. Al Horford out here talking. Now all of a sudden you lose in the locker room.
And then not only just the locker room, but look at the product on the court. Like, all summer long, FIFO and them was saying Ben Simmons got a jump shot. Trust me, he's going to show it in the regular season. Brett Brown was already talking about Ben Simmons is going to shoot more.
Mm-hmm. What, he wanted him to shoot more.
What the hell has been going on? As the head coach, you can't get your star player to shoot?
That's Brett Brown. It's Brett Brown and Ben Simmons. Brett Brown.
Who's it more? I mean, you're going to give it to Ben probably more because he's the man.
Honestly, I'm going to say Brett Brown. And the reason why I say that is because I've been a coach. And I understand that Ben Simmons makes however much money and he is one of the faces of this franchise. But you know what? The same way that you can sit a player for missing a defensive assignment, for making bonehead plays, I'm going to sit you for not shooting. You want to play?
How long you going to do shoot? That?
As long as it takes. You want to play, you got to shoot. For Ben Simmons, to me, it's as simple as that. You want to play, you got to shoot. Because at this point, you're just pacifying.
But then what about your job? Because then you're going to lose your job for losing games.
You probably were not going to lose games because you got Embiid.
And he's
hurt.
And at the end of the day, coaches, for the most part, are expendable. So if this is your time, you got to do it your way. You can't just try to, you know, appease everybody. Nah, bro. This is the way I think that we're going to win. This is how we're going to do it. You got to be steadfast.
It's embarrassing, man. You come out and you say, I want him to shoot at least 1 3 a game, and then he don't come out and shoot threes a game. Like, what the hell? That makes you look bad.
100%.
That makes you look bad. So
and to me, I would talk to Ben Simmons, like, bro, you make, again, like what you're saying, you're making me look bad.
Everybody wants him to do it.
And you, like, what's going on? Like,
and Ben Simmons deserves some blame because I read on air, like, he just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. It's not like, and I really don't think his ability. I think it's just his.
I think he's comfortable. I think he's comfortable
he
enough.
Don't
want
to fucking do it
to be like who he is.
But I would keep both of them. I would get a coach in here that's gonna set the record straight and get them motherfuckers under control.
Mark Jackson can.
We toss his name out, but ain't nobody getting in for interviews. So who else?
I don't know, but somebody. Somebody, Nick Nurse, came in and took them to a title, and nobody knew he could coach.
Yep. Proven that he's a good coach this year.
Elton Brand got to pull them boys to the side.
This thing is combusting now, though. They're talking about trading one of them now.
Because I think they're panicking in the organization.
But they're not. How is
it
panicking?
Obviously,
they haven't.
And they haven't traded him, but the talk is enough. Let me walk that back a little bit. The media is talking. The organization isn't. They're saying the opposite.
Exactly.
Elton Brand came out and said, nah.
Exactly. And just think about actions speak louder than words. What are they doing? They're adding to try to make it work even more, right? Mm-hmm. But I think at some point, if Ben doesn't shoot, then you got to make a decision. You definitely got to
Who you let go? I say give up on Ben.
So I go back and forth with this. Like when I think about this and I look at how they're constructed, I go back and forth. I'm pretty sure I've said Ben in the past, but this week, today, I'm going to say Embiid for a couple of reasons. Health being number one.
Okay, we know, that's the best reason.
You know, we know he's not going to play multiple years of 82 games. We know that for a fact. He's just not. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, I think he's just too aloof at times. Like, I think the gravity of the moment, it's that Kobe Bryant.
But
it's that Kobe Bryant Shaq thing. It's like, bro, like, this is, like, we got to be serious right now.
But do you also think that's more about coaching? Like, because to me, with Embiid, it's like, there's a mix between, like, is it coaching or is it him?
It's personality. And the thing is that I'm not saying I'm against an Embiid type personality, but I need you to be serious when it needs to be serious.
But some people say Shaq was aloof back then.
He was. But
Shaq was dominant. Look at those finals. Shaq was averaging like 32 points, 14 rebounds, 2 blocks. Like, Shaq was dominant.
And just to add to that, he knew when to be serious.
Exactly.
Embiid hasn't figured that out. And when he has tried it, it doesn't work because he's not a serious kind of guy.
Exactly. So Shaq had a business demeanor about him that he knew how to turn it off and on.
Embiid has to find that balance. And he came out and said it. He said, I'm not having fun anymore. Because you're a guy that likes to play having fun. You're not a guy that likes to play being serious because you listen to the OGs telling you to be more serious and it's getting.
But
I look
at it as like, because I mentioned the comparison as far as like Dwight Howard when it comes to somewhat of a personality and that goofy shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he got with Stan Van Gundy, that got Dwight. That was the best of Dwight Howard we've ever seen.
But he still was goofy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. The coach.
But Dwight Howard, I mean, if we're talking personality, yes. But
I'm saying you can have a goofy motherfucker, but if you got the right coach, he can get something out of him. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm going with the Brett Brown thing. It's like we've been holding on to him and saying all these excuses for him. Like, shit, maybe it's neither one of them is wrong.
But you know what? But
it's just
even,
the coach.
But
even,
you know what we saw with Dwight Howard when he went to L.A.? That he didn't have the will to win. The reason why he went to the finals, it was because of how that team was built.
You talking about Orlando?
Orlando.
100%. Yep. And the other thing, too, is that I can say this about Dwight Howard. Even though he was goofy, I think he's still goofy. It just it works now. We knew that he was he had a level of tenacity consistently.
Right. Yeah.
He was multiple defensive player of the year. Embiid isn't even in the conversation when he should be.
But his injuries.
But even like Shaq reveled in being dominant. Like that's when Shaq had fun. Joel Embiid has to figure out dominance equals fun. Mm. He has to figure out that equation. For some reason, it's discombobulated in his head. But that's the equation. Dominance equals fun. And he hasn't figured that out. So for those multitude of reasons, I would get rid of Embiid. Another reason why I would get rid of Embiid is because if I look at how the basketball is played today in the NBA, it's about having a guy that's like Ben Simmons or like Giannis. And you surround them with shooters and let them do what they naturally do best. And Ben Simmons has been steadfast on, I'm not shooting. I'm going to be a point forward. I'm going to get everybody else set up. I'm going to play my game. And his game lends itself more to what the NBA is doing now than what Embiid does. So when I look at all of those things, especially the health, I'm like, I might as well just keep Ben Simmons and build around him.
If Ben Simmons had even a mid-range jump shot, I would say Ben Simmons all day.
But whenever Embiid don't play,
Ben Simmons goes off.
And Ben Simmons snap. Like, man.
It looks like a whole different player.
But going back to your saying, FIFO, goes back to your saying. If someone has to be out for you to shine, then what does that say about you?
But
for me, that says that Brett Brown figured out a way to utilize them both at the same time.
So then it goes back to the coach.
It's something.
So that's what I'm saying. Like,
there's something that
ain't
right.
Which one is it? Because I say it's the coach, but y'all saying it's like
I'm
with
saying
you with the coach.
Yes, this year, Brett Brown has had more than enough time to figure it out.
Yeah.
So that's why this year you don't win. Brett Brown is out, and you got to bring somebody else in, and then you bring in a guy. Let's just say whoever it is. And it's still not working, then it's the two guys, and you got to make a decision at that point. And here's the thing:
do you give that a year or just the deadline for next season?
It's always about context. It depends on how it looks. Because obviously it's not going to be fluid right at the beginning, right? But if you see that they're playing better than what they were under Brett Brown, then you give it
so
the
season.
So they
got to be a top four.
Because Ben Simmons already got his contract extension, right?
Yeah. He just doesn't get paid until next year.
So Embiid hasn't gotten his.
No, Embiid has.
No, he got his.
Embiid was drafted before Ben Simmons. Embiid is getting paid.
I would get, look, for what I went through with the process, I'm getting every goddamn thing I can out of there.
So let's play if you get rid of Joel Embiid, what team wants him? And then what is required for you to get rid of him? Like for you to take back?
I'm not good at this.
What team wants him? What team is just missing a big man? Or I want to say maybe Memphis, but I don't know if they got the assets for it.
Nah, they ain't paying nobody. Everybody's young.
But as far as, like, it's not going to be a
– Memphis might not be a bad team.
I'm just thinking about him and Ja Morant.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I think Portland needs to look at it.
That's a lot of stuff for Portland to give. They would have to give up CJ.
And?
Why?
And? I got Dame Dollar and Joel Embiid and Carmelo. And I'm giving you props.
Well, guess because Melo's making, $2 a game?
Hey, it is what it is. It is what it is.
He's going to be there regardless.
But, yeah, but not because you got to look at what Philly needs back. They need shooting. They need other ball handlers. So, CJ would be perfect. So, yeah, I would give CJ for Embiid and pair Embiid and Dame together. Hell, yeah.
What about San Antonio?
And take back DeMar and LaMarcus?
I mean, you got the coach that can get his ass.
You're getting rid of LA, definitely.
Yeah, you get rid of
I would
DeMarcus.
Say, I think they like DeMarcus, though. I feel like, don't they?
You mean LaMarcus? No, they don't.
I mean, they don't like LA. Yeah. I mean, I'm cool. I know they cool
Spurs
on LA.
Spurs don't like either one of them.
No, they don't.
Well, LA was about to try. He wanted to leave anyway, and they had to beg him back.
I mean, yeah.
But I put it to you like this. I do like the Spurs because you know who's on that bench outside of Greg Pop now? Tim Duncan. I like that.
And
I
you
like
got that. A no-nonsense coach.
Nope. Ain't none of that goofy shit around here, bro. Ain't none of that. So I like San Antonio. I like Memphis. I don't think Memphis has the assets to give back.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They just don't.
What about Indiana? Or is that too...
Oladipo. My thing is this. If Indiana gets Joel Embiid, then you don't have nothing but Joel Embiid.
What's the light-skinned dude from who's with Milwaukee? Like Brogdon. He's still with Indiana, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have Brogdon, Oladipo, or Brogdon have to go?
A championship team.
With Joel? I think that's a solid three.
What do you mean solid three?
Because what's that, Kim? 50-40-90?
But just Brogdon and Joel Embiid?
No, Brogdon, Oladipo, Joel Embiid.
No, Oladipo. I need
what
Oladipo.
What about the Kings? They need somebody.
They don't have enough money on the books.
Okay.
Because they already paid Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox is coming up, right?
Yeah. This is only De'Aaron's second year.
No, it ain't.
Yeah, it is. He got drafted with Lonzo.
Lonzo's in his third year.
Oh, so fine. Third year.
What about OKC? They don't got any money either.
They ain't got nobody to build around.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to take.
But you would build around Embiid.
Yeah, but like you.
No,
were
no, no.
Oh, you're talking about who?
Philly.
Oh.
Yeah, Philly. What am I getting back?
Yeah, what am I going to get back? Never mind.
Yeah, Chris Paul.
you know who they would have to consider? Milwaukee. I want Chris Middleton. I pretty much want everything.
Yeah, you want the
I
whole
want
squad.
Everything. Everything besides Giannis.
Yeah. But that's two of the same people. You got the same guy twice over. So just one is more healthy.
I don't know. Well, anyway, we need to talk about him. And then we'll get out of here. Zion.
He's not a bust. I'll say that.
Did you think that?
No, I was scared he was based off how long it was delayed for him to get back. He's not a bust. However, he is finding out the NBA is a little bit harder. He can't just yam on everybody because Giannis shut that shit down. Sap.
Giannis is a different person. But he did snatch the ball out of Giannis's
Yeah, he
hand.
Did. He did. He showed that strength.
Was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he showed that strength. Because Giannis, he's strong, I guess, because he's his stature. But he ain't thick strong.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, but nah, man. Like, Zion, like, I wanted to wait and see. You know, even though he did well in preseason. But I still got to see it, man. And that first game, all right, okay, whatever. But he's kept it up.
He's consistent.
You know,
he's been consistent.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, man, this dude, like, with B.I. and Lonzo,
it's a good fit, man.
And if him and Lonzo get that connection.
They already had the connection.
I've seen that, but I'm just saying, like, I need to see, like, a whole season of, like, you know.
Look,
I want to be like,
I saw it in
like
preseason.
Like LeBron, D-Wade type shit where it's just,
bro,
like, it just goes like that.
It's going to happen. It's going to
so
happen.
So you think they can, like, with Zion now, they can make a push for the playoffs?
Oh, 100%.
Like, right, this season?
Yeah, they can make a push.
I don't know about that.
Because in Zion's eight games, what they won
they're
like,
4-4.
4-4.
Yeah.
So yeah,
this is the West though. You can't be going.
But I'm just saying, Memphis is the only one that's like right around 500 that's still in the playoffs.
Yeah, but like you said, we still got Portland. What was the other team?
That's it. Those are the three teams that's really vying. Because Phoenix they've fallen off. They don't have
Phoenix is another place. Maybe Joel go to Phoenix.
I think Aiden getting hurt didn't help.
When did he get hurt?
DeAndre Ayton?
Yeah,
he missed like 20. No, he got suspended.
Suspended.
He got suspended.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say he got hurt after taking them PEDs. I'm like, damn,
but,
bro.
But he's looking,
they nice.
He's looking good.
They're a point guard away.
Oubre?
Oh, yeah. No, he's you know what? That's
Washington?
I don't get it. Because you watch him in Washington, it's almost like, okay, you're just a role player. He's literally playing at an all-star level the last 2 years since he got traded to Phoenix. I don't know. Sometimes a change of scenery is just what's best for you. But
And who's that coach? Is it Monty Williams?
Yeah, Monty now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Oubre looked like a different dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you know, they put his name out there in trades, but
But they pulled it back, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't trade him.
Yeah, so right now, the eighth seed, we have the Grizzlies at 27-26. Your boys, the Trailblazers, 25-29. The Spurs, 22-30. And the Pelicans right there, 22-31.
And the Blazers, they fighting, boy. They Who, is the fighting. The Blazers.
Oh, yeah.
Have
we? Let's talk about, hold on. Before we go there. Yes. Before we go to Dame, I want to finish up on Zion. So here is part of what I look for when I evaluate talent. Can you do what makes you special at every level? And when we watch Zion, when we watch LeBron, when we watch these guys that are super special, like the phenoms, the guys that are supposed to be ready day one or maybe day three, right? But like you're supposed to be an impact player today. Can you do what you were doing at the previous level? And when you watch Zion, the answer is a resounding yes. He's bigger than damn near everybody he plays against. He got more ups. And the thing is that he plays with a level of what a motor that a guy that big shouldn't have. So that's the reason why he's such a perfect fit for the Pelicans, because you have a pass first point guard. Your two man is J.J. Redick, which is a catch and shoot three man. Mm-hmm. Your three man B.I. is a scorer.
Yep.
Give me the rock at the three, post up, wherever he's going to get buckets.
That's why he's struggling in L.A.
Exactly.
Yep. Because he needed the ball.
He's a scorer, a person with the ball scorer. And the reason why Zion fits so perfect is because he's going to get 20 and you don't really have to run many plays for him. You run pick and roll, right? A couple of times you might give it to him in the post when he has, you know, a little mismatch or whatever. But for the most part, he's going to get a rebound and push. And I told Ken this, I want to say it was off air, but if y'all go back, go way, 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 way back, if y'all been rocking with Dennis Sports for a minute, when Kyle was still on the show and we talked about the top power forwards in the league and we did our top five, and I put Blake Griffin on there and everybody was looking at me, why Blake Griffin, this, that, and the third, why is he so high? And I said, because he can dribble and he can dribble, make decisions with the ball.
You're talking about a video.
Yeah, the video. Yeah. Go back to the video. And Kyle was like, well, I think you're overrating that. And I'm like, no. Like, that is huge for a power forward, Draymond Green, right? Like, that. Like there's got LeBron when he plays, you know, small ball four, Anthony Davis. When you can get the rock as a big man like that, push the ball, because the defense isn't set. And then the people that are back are going to be who? Guards. Mm-hmm. They're not going to – bro, Zion coming straight at me, bro. Go ahead. What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? So – because of that, and Zion is unselfish. Mm-hmm. I say outside of Lonzo, he's the second most unselfish player on that team. So because of that, they keep that core together, B.I., Zion, and Lonzo together. They're gonna be very formidable.
I know we say 3-5 on this show. That's FIFO's mantra. But given what we've seen from Zion, given what we've seen from Ja, and some of the other rookies, do you have concerns about R.J. Barrett?
No, I think he's a late bloom. I think he's gonna be one of those like
3-5.
He's gonna be like a D'Angelo Russell.
Okay, so D'Angelo Russell played well. No, I think 3-5 stats are
exactly
yeah, because he got this contract just recently. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
3-5. Yeah, look, man. So the phenoms. Not everybody's always ready to play day one, which is why in most NBA drafts, most times you don't even have somebody like that. But in this draft, we happen to have two.
Do you still think it? He's the best rookie out of the draft.
Out of the draft, I may have to walk that back because of John Morant, but I still think he's. Once he figures it out, I will judge it from there. But yeah. I think right now, of course, like you got to go with John Morant,
the best rookie in this draft.
Yeah,
Remember when he got drafted? Nick was saying that they got out of the draft.
I thought he was the best. I still think there's still opportunity to show that, but I think he's the best player out of the draft. Yeah. But right now, it's John Morant.
I want to see him put it together, man. I still like him a lot, RJ. And same thing.
He's built like he could be like a Kawhi Leonard. He could be like
I just haven't really seen what his game is yet. Exactly. In the NBA.
And again, with the Knicks, it's like that's a horrible place to be right now if you're trying to.
And I hope he's not being Oubre'd. Like, we're not gonna see it
with the Knicks. Yeah.
And he goes somewhere else and flourish.
I don't see the Knicks moving off of RJ Barrett. When I watch him,
I'm just talking about in terms of them stifling his.
I feel you. I feel
talent.
You.
Yeah.
When I watch RJ Barrett play, to me, he reminds me of a poor man's James Harden. He just like he's relentless at getting to the basket. Like he wants to get to the basket.
He likes contact.
He likes contact. I think that once he figures out nuance of the NBA game, he'll get to the free throw line more. Obviously, the jumper will get more consistent.
Yeah. You know, that'll come with time. Yeah.
That'll come with time. So, to me, like, when I watch him play, I feel James Harden. I don't know if he's going to be like James Harden in terms of, you know, 50, 60 points.
Yeah,
I don't know that. But he's a James. He has old man game. And that's the thing I like about RJ Barrett.
Yeah.
What would y'all say if I said Dame Lillard is the best point guard in the league right now?
Yeah, I say you're right. I don't think there's a point guard outplaying him right now.
Just the players playing right now. We're not.
Yeah, I'm not saying it all the time. I said it's just right now.
No, I'm talking about
this season.
Because Curry isn't playing. We're talking about the players.
I think even if Curry was playing. Yeah.
Well,
if Dame was putting up these numbers while Curry is playing.
But we've seen Curry go through runs, too.
Yes.
But this is historic.
Curry's never done this before.
Because I want to say it was like maybe two or three games ago, it was like a 6 or 7 game run where he was averaging almost 50. Nobody's done that since Will.
It was like 50. It was with assists, too. Like, he was doing, like, some, like,
crazy. It was like a 50-point double-double. Nobody's done that since Wilt Chamberlain.
I remember seeing that.
And then, you know, when you start talking about and Wilt,
yeah,
you doing some astronomical type
stuff. They still don't give that man his flowers, man.
You talking about Wilt or Dame?
Dame, man. Yeah. It's just you know what? Disrespectful, bro.
And you know what was really disrespectful that I saw come today? So, you know how, like, the USA basketball team, how they go through, like, a process, right? Like, they select a whole bunch of players, and then you go through training camp, and then they, you know, dwindle it down. Dame ain't get he's not one of the 44 players, which is crazy.
I don't get it, man. I mean, I know he's playing in Portland, and this is probably
good for him because this keeps that chip on his shoulder.
100. And this is his he's a first-time All-Star, right, this year?
Nah.
This is his second?
Nah, hell nah. He got it.
He don't have multiple.
I thought it was at least his third.
Nah, this is going to Ken's point, why he's been disrespected so much.
But the West has been heavy with guards.
But still.
Like, top five in the West. They ain't been that heavy in point guards.
Outside of Russ and Steph, it's Dame. No,
he's a five-time All-Star.
He's a five-time All-Star?
Yeah. I will say this.
I take that back.
James Harden going to ask Russell Westbrook to get traded.
Really?
Man, Russ is doing that thing again where he plays second fiddle, and then
he don't know when to stop playing.
And then the worst thing James Harden did was get hurt, because then Russ got a chance to just go do what he do. And now he's starting to shoot more shots than James Harden. Y'all know that.
But James has been fucking up, too. There's some games I was like, damn, bro, you need to figure out. You can't just do this live by the three, die by the three shit. It's like the definition
That's
of insanity.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Like, but it gets to that point, like, how many times do you have to redo the roster? How many times do you have to – you're the main consistent. Remember, FIFA, I told you about it. Like, he has been the main consistent. Him and Daryl Morey been the same motherfuckers since day one, since he got traded to them. And I haven't seen a team turn on a roster over like a 5-year period like the Houston Rockets.
I won't say it's definitive, but it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just saying I'm going to watch for evidence.
It's finals or bust for them. If they don't make it to the NBA finals, they scrapping the whole team. Cool, James.
Well, we know that D'Antoni is definitely a goner because they're not going to re-up his contract. And then I don't know what they do with the rest of the pieces of that team, because if you don't get somebody else that's bought into that ideology,
and does that even work? Does that ideology work? I know that we talk about the Chris Paul year.
I think it does.
But
it just
don't matter.
I don't know if it can win a championship.
Right,
I mean by it works, because that's what they want. They've been doing all
James
this
Harden because James Harden he loves it, and that's why I think when Chris Paul was there, Chris Paul is about winning. You know, Russ, I mean, I think
you
he's
think Russ
about
is just
winning.
He happy
I think
to be
he's
there.
About winning, too. He wants to win, but James Harden is also about his numbers.
But you know
they
what?
They both though? Are.
But here's the thing.
James Harden way more than Russell Westbrook.
100%. And I think that with Russ and James Harden, they want to win their way. CP wants to win the right way.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference with that. Like, when you watch LeBron wins the right way. He doesn't necessarily win his way. To a degree, yes, because he's just anytime he's going to be on the team, you just run it through Bron. It is what it is. But he makes the right basketball play. James Harden is going to force a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I think the thing with James, the reason why he cares, I feel like he cares about his numbers a little bit more, is because at the end of the day, I got mine, and you ain't going to say it was my fault. Like, I'm going to look good doing it. So, I know I'm not going to win a title, but at least I'm going to pull up these.
And he's going to be in the record books for breaking all these threes and all this.
He got to save himself, man. So, we just wanted to do this real quick, man. We're going to get out of here. We had a long night recording. We did a lot of stuff for Frames Per Second. Make sure you guys check out the Power Recap. That'll be up on Frames Per Second tomorrow for those of you watching the live stream right now. And then we did Birds of Prey, and we're covering Black History Month as well with some movies. And we opened with Antoine Fisher. We got Harlem Nights, Bamboozled, and Moonlight, and The Legend of Nigga Charlie. Wild guess which one was mine, my pick.
Is that still going on? Did you find a copy yet?
I'm working on that. That's why I think mine will have to be last.
All right.
So I worked that out. So anyway. All right, man. Last thing, Mondays, 9:30, we promise, but we may be as early as 9. So we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.